pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Got a great program scheduled for today. In just a second, as promised, we're going to catch up with Jason Peter. His book, Hero of the Underground, is out. In fact, he's on the East Coast in New York making some appearances with the book. We'll talk to him in just a second. Our Big 12 football preview continues today. We're going to catch up with R.G. Brooks of the Rocky Mountain News to talk Colorado football. And also the first ever athlete from UNK to be inducted into the RMAC, which is the conference that, of course, the Lopers are in, the RMAC Hall of Fame. Daniel Shum is going to join us in our last segment today. But as we promised you for the last couple of days, we've been telling you about the book that's out. We've been telling you if you've missed any of the HBO specials or even to catch the show as a co-host of The Spread on ESPN 1480 in Lincoln. It is former Nebraska All-American, three-time national champion, and, of course, a first-round draft pick of the Carolina Panthers. Jason Peter joins us this morning on the Doug and Danny Show. And, Jason, it's great to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. I guess welcome to our business. What do you think of this ESPN radio gig you got going?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's so funny that I'm actually doing this now because after I played my last down with the Carolina Panthers, I had called my agent to see if there was a possibility that maybe I could get into broadcasting. If you can't play, all right, well, the next best thing is to talk about it. And before I could even finish the sentence, he said, you don't speak well enough. So that was pretty much the end of that. And fortunately, I had guys, I guess, that I've come across in the business after they interviewed me. They thought, you wouldn't be bad at this. So I kind of looked into it, and Coach Osborne really made it happen and put me in contact with the right people.
That's okay. We hired one of those guys as my co-host, too. So
it works out. I was just going to say, Jason, a lot of people probably thought just by the language in the book that you would perhaps be on Sirius.
What was that?
You'd probably be on XM or Sirius Radio just by the language in the book.
They haven't had to drop me once over there yet. But let me tell you, since I've been out here on the East Coast and doing some of these shows, I had the opportunity to do a couple shows on Sirius on the satellite, and I can tell you, it's fun. It's fun because you don't have to worry about anything.
Jason Peters joining us here on the Doug and Danny Show. A lot of things that we can cover. I know we've got a short amount of time. So one of the questions I had first and foremost, Jason, I guess people have heard you on the Jim Rome Show here on ESPN Radio and a variety of places. The book is about your travels and the hell you went through and where you're at today. My question to you, first off, was be, where did it turn? Where did it go wrong? Can you pinpoint an exact moment that you just went, whoa?
I think about it all the time, about what exactly it was. And I think there's not just one answer. I think it's a combination of things. My NFL career going the way that it did, all the injuries, that certainly had me at a point where I was taking a lot of those pills, and I knew that I liked those pills, and I wasn't just taking them for pain, although I was in a lot of pain. So there certainly was something there, and I have no problem saying that I was addicted to pain pills when I was playing in the NFL, but I think it really got taken up a notch and moved on to other things when the career was taken away, pretty much. When George Seifert and Marty Herney, the GM down in Carolina, and John Kasich, the head trainer, on a Monday morning pulled me into their office after the game, and I had just re-injured my neck, and I knew exactly what was about to happen. It was like a man on death row, and he was taking the walk to the chair. At that point, I was playing one game, missing two. I'd play another one, miss three. And I knew that the doctors weren't going to keep taking the chance of putting me out there. So they brought me in, and they told me that was it. We can't clear you to play anymore. You're going to end up wheeling yourself off the field. And that was the end of Jason Peter, the football player. And that was the only Jason Peter that lived, at least in my world. That was my identity. And no matter how many interviews I did when I was playing, and you kind of give off this whole facade that you'd be all right if football ended and that you have other things that you enjoy doing. I didn't. And I didn't have any skill or any knowledge of going into something else. When football ended, I didn't know what to do. And everybody then starts asking about a month after, that final snap. They give you a little time to grieve, but they start asking, well, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And it was just like all this stuff had just jumped on my back. And I was the kid in school that crossed his fingers in the back of the classroom and was just praying, don't pick on me, don't pick on me. Because I just never had any confidence using that thing that sat in between my ears. I mean, the only thing I ever used it for was studying my plays. That's just the truth of it. And I just was in, like, panic mode with, do I try to study and become a stockbroker? Do I go and work, start a restaurant? What do I do? And I just didn't think I could do anything. And the only thing I knew how to do was get high, and I didn't have to worry about those questions anymore. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because it just came too much. But a year and a half after I played my last snap, I'm at my parents' house and trying to kill myself.
Jason, it's a very, very interesting, and there's so many parts of this book that we can pick apart. But you mentioned the meeting with George Seifert in that office, but you had to know before that I can't continue to go out here and run into 300-pound guys at the speed you were doing that at, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the trainers and the doctors were some of the people that I was probably closest to, or at least had maybe the deepest relationships with, because I had spent so much time with them. So, I knew what was happening. If I kept getting injured, they were eventually going to pull the plug, and the doctors just would not risk their careers putting somebody out there who is at high risk for a major injury.
Jason, certainly growing up in small town Nebraska, you opened my eyes. I've never saw heroin. I've never saw cocaine. I've certainly had no understanding what freebasing means other than watching Hookers at the Point on HBO. Yeah. I think this book is going to open a lot of people's eyes to a whole different world, in a world in which you fell victim to or were trapped inside for an extended period of time.
I hope so, because I wanted to try to give off this message that this thing can happen to anybody. I mean, I come from a great family, a loving mother, father, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, every benefit in the world, every opportunity my father didn't have, he worked so that his children would. And it just didn't care. It didn't care what neighborhood you come from. It doesn't care what skin color you are, how big you are. This thing can affect anybody. And most people have either had some experience with it or they know somebody who has. So I think it's just a great book for somebody to read where something like this is going on in a loved one's life.
Well, Jason, I know you've got more obligations there in New York, so we'll let you get going, but hopefully we can catch up with you when you get back to the state and talk a little bit more about the book and, of course, get into the state of Husker football when you played and, of course, where they are now. We sure appreciate the minutes this morning, though.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Jason Peter, former Cornhusker, Carolina Panthers. The book Hero of the Underground is out now. Jason has a website. It's pretty simple, jasonpeter.com. Jason DougPeter.com, and you can find out a whole lot more. Book is on sale at various outlets throughout the state of Nebraska. And again, just the way his schedule was, we could have had him on for the whole show, a half an hour, but we've been promised more time with Jason. But he's in New York and has to switch over and do another interview here in just a couple of minutes. But we will have more with Jason Peter. And one of the things, you know, if we'd have had a couple more minutes, I wanted to say Matt Jones, arrested overnight, NFL player for the Jaguars for cutting cocaine in his parked car. You know, what does Jason Peter think when you hear something like that? I mean, the timing of that is just unbelievable, and it's something that I think he would say goes on every day somewhere with somebody. Not 50% of the league, but somebody is in some kind of trouble this way.
It's just really bizarre, Doug, when you bring up Matt Jones and the exposure of these athletes and what they have access to, and Jason Peter will tell you. This deal with the Vicodin and the pain pills, and then it transformed a doctor saying, well, you know, Vicodin's a great, great painkiller, but I think I've got better ones. How about two signed jerseys? You're the first-round pick. You're the face of a franchise at that time. You start doing that for people, and these guys embrace you, and you start getting into their circles. Well, then it just becomes habitual going down to different pharmacy. It points out a pharmacy in New York, which he could go and get 200-300 pills, you know, just constantly. There were no limitations. I mean, you know, you try and go get an extra antibiotic. I mean, it doesn't matter if you go to USA Pharmacy, you go to Walgreens. There's deals of flat, yeah, we gave you one of these, you know, 13 days ago, you're not cleared to take this again. Well, that isn't the case. You know, and you're doing it with much, much far worse prescription drugs, and that's not fun, you know, and that's not good for anybody. But what a story. There's so many parts. The only thing I was probably disappointed in the book a little bit was it took you through the emotional, it was almost a depression of, I'm going to say it's 280 pages long. It's a depression of about 160 pages in the middle. And then the end, the good story, the happy ending, if you call it. I mean, he gets, you know what, the happy ending lasts about 20 pages. And it was like, well, you take him down to the depths, and then all of a sudden, okay, you're uplifting, and you're talking about people re-entering your life. You know, Grant Winston, these guys were inseparable. They made a pact. They could have left after their junior year. They made a pact to come back and win a national title. And then you throw on Tom Osborne going out, and these were the two guys that called the team meeting. It chronicles that, and it chronicles how inseparable these two guys are. Well, when Jason Peter goes years with avoiding, you know, people like Grant Winstrom, avoiding his brothers, that there is certainly a bond between. When you don't answer the phone when your mom and dad are calling.
Well, his mom goes into the hospital for heart failure or heart problems because of when Jason, we've talked about it, if you read some of the experts, that time that he flew out the last time for rehab, got there late, they couldn't check him in, and he ends up going on a binge in a hotel room for 3 or 4 days where the security guards have to actually take the door off the hinges to get in and find out if he's okay. And then he finds out his mom, after talk, is it Christian, calls him and says, Mom's sick. He goes, I'm on my way. No, don't come here. Get your ass in the hospital. That's what the problem is. I mean, you think about how it affects other people. It's absolutely amazing. And we will talk more with Jason Peter Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, we'll have him at the top of the program when he gets back into the state of Nebraska. But Jason Peter, we've already had that rescheduled, or scheduled again, we should say, to continue our chat with Jason Peter coming up at the top of the program first thing on Monday. So mark that down on your calendar. You're going to hopefully see and hear a lot of Jason. There's only so many ways you can reiterate it. He's telling the same story, and he's going to be answering a lot of the same questions the same way. But there's been so many things that, because we're interested about Nebraska football and Jason Peter, I listened to him on Jim Rome the two or three times that he was on in studio for a full hour. Of course, then Omaha and Lincoln pretty much all day with emails and phone calls after he was on. Peter King's article here about a month ago, SI.com. You know, it's not funny, but the first thing he says, Peter King's article, he goes, I called him and didn't know how to begin the interview, so I just said, I'm shocked you're still alive. And Jason Peters said, quote, I am too. and you know, you just read things like that, and it the first thing, and we've had an opportunity to know some of the area Huskers, obviously, a little bit better, and some that played now, some that played then, some that played at other times in between. But the first thing that stood out to me, and we've seen what meth can do to people. I mean, you mentioned maybe the cocaine and the heroin we haven't been associated with. I'm sure it's out there where we live. We're not naive. But you can see what it does to you physically. And when you look at Jason Peter, people think about the phenomenal physical specimen he was as a Husker football player. And even when you look at him now, he's cleaned up and all, but you could just tell the sunken eyes, the whole, you know, he's lost all that weight, and actually he's put weight on, but how frail he was and what it did to him. That's just unbelievable that must make you just keep on like that.
Well, I don't think people are going to be able to identify, because I don't think a lot of people in central Nebraska, maybe there's some out there that have been around heroin. I don't think it's prevalent in the area. I hope it certainly isn't. But, you know, he's going through a part of detoxification in which the doctor says, and just going absolute berserk, and he said, you've got to give me some. I'm going, this is not good. I'm withdrawing, and it's terrible. And he said, well, how much heroin are you taking? He said, I told you 3 bundles. And the guy says, well, there's 10 bags in a bundle. The doctor was treating him for 3 bags. He was taking 3 bundles of this drug at a time. And, I mean, just things like that, the quantities that were being pushed through his system, and then to basically have it come down to, I got to think Jason probably believes that had his mother not had a stress condition, did not end up being a heart attack when she went to the hospital, this might have ended a tragic ending. It may not have ever ended.
Well, and it's not over.
No.
Even though everything seems pretty structured, I think Jason will tell us that. Again, Jason Peter will join us again on Monday. Your thoughts, 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the Dent Popper inbox anytime, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Dent Popper, home of the Arma linings. If you have weather that's dinged up your car or need some paintless dent repair, stop in and see Scott or Joel at Dent Popper on the Bricks, downtown Kearney. The Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at espnsuperstation.com. That's not all the Husker football news. A big recruit, but now again, what we've been snake bitten by so many times lately, you know, your Freemans, your Blaine Gabberts, these guys that say they're coming in and then don't, but a 4- or 5-star recruit, depending on whose service you look at, in Cody Green, yesterday afternoon, got a hold of the Husker coaches and said, I'm coming to Nebraska. Daddy, your thoughts?
Well, you hear him say, the actual quote is, it doesn't matter. Once I make my decision is done. Uh-huh. I'm not going anywhere else.
Well, whatever. That's all just talk. And you hope, you know, I think Blaine Gabbert's a good, fine young man. And I'm sure Josh Freeman, from when we've talked to him, an outstanding young man. They're 17 years old. They're trying to make a decision that's going to impact the rest of their life. And it's not like it used to be. I mean, if people weren't bugging you every single day, you'd wait.
Well, it's one of those quarterbacks that you're going up against A&Ms and going up against several big-time Alabamas, LSUs, that are looking and wanting this kid, and to choose them, certainly much more heralded than the other 5 commitments that the Huskers have got for the 09 class.
Coming up, B.G. Brooks from the Rocky Mountain News to talk Colorado football. And in the last segment of the day, Danielle Shum is going to join us. She is the former UNK Volleyball All-American last year with the program in 96. Lives in a Kansas City suburb and is going into the RMAC Hall of Fame. First UNK athlete to do that. So we're going to talk to them in just a moment. But while we're still talking Husker football, have you caught the article this morning? It started out on blogs and now it's an article. The father of an Oklahoma quarterback says he plans legal action against a Nebraska football fan who posted a bogus story on an internet message board claiming that 2 Sooners had been arrested on cocaine distribution charges. James Conrad, who is a Nebraska football fan living in Austin, Texas, says he didn't mean to hurt Oklahoma quarterback Sam Bradford and Landry Jones with his internet hoax. I want to express my deepest apologies to the families. That's the thing I'm regretful about. I didn't want to hurt anyone. That's the quote from Conrad. Landry's father, Kevin Jones. What? Landry Jones, his father, Kevin Jones, indicated Conrad's apology may not be enough. I'm going to prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. I've got deep enough pockets to do it. What this bozo did is he took a template or the actual picture of the Daily Oklahoman off their website, then wrote and pasted this story on their website, on their message board, on the message board. What are you thinking, idiot?
Freaking idiot.
I mean, now, I don't want this guy thrown in jail for 10 years, but it can't be just, a practical joke.
Well, the guy's such a goof. He even says in this article at the end, I just wanted to get him all riled up, I guess. Well, you got that done.
It was a bad decision. When I got home, I got on my computer. One of the moderators on the Oklahoma site emailed me and said some Oklahoma people are upset about this. That's when I took it down. You think? Take it down. By the way, he's our NBA and NHL expert. But these emails that come in that say Derek knows anything about drugs just because you're from Germany. It was just hemp. Hey, it was just hemp over there.
No, hey, come on now. Don't implicate me in this stuff. What's going on?
We have no experts really about anything in this studio.
That's so true.
We're going to talk Colorado football. Well, we just wanted to get you involved in the show again today, Derek.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We missed you.
I appreciate that.
We're going to tech up with the Colorado football after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right, this has gone far enough.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, dude, this is really cool stuff.
More coolness in a moment with Doug and Daddy at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Golf can be really frustrating, but man, when you hit the perfect tee shot, watch it go down the fairway, land on the green, that's what keeps me coming back. Tell you what, I ran into Kevin Cameron. He's the pro instructor at Kearney Golf Center. He worked with me on the range, helped me find my swing, and now the thrill of hitting that great shot comes more and more.
Golf, like lots of stuff, is more fun when you're better at it. See Kearney Golf Center for lessons. Better game, more fun. Kearney Golf Center, south of UNK at 1800 West 24th.
If you're afraid of the rising price of gas, afraid of the increasing cost of food, and afraid you won't be able to stretch your budget for everything else you need, Kearney Yamaha has one thing to say. Do not be afraid. Kearney Yamaha has your money-saving solution. Stop into Kearney Yamaha today and see how you can save over $4,800 on a brand new 1900cc Yamaha Stratoliner. This chrome-heavy, 113-cubic-inch V-twin-powered streamlined Stratoliner is fuel-injected with locking side bags and a detachable windshield and backrest. And right now, you'll get a $200 gas card free when you finance your new Yamaha Star motorcycle at Kearney Yamaha. That's heard right. A free $200 gas card. The Yamaha Stratoliner, available in every color you love and in stock now at Kearney Yamaha.
Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Hey, Nebraska, are you ready to save some cash on auto service? Then get to Big O Tires now. For just $159, you'll get an oil change plus any two maintenance services of your choice. Transmission, radiator, fuel system, power steering and brake flushes, plus transfer case and differential services. Any two of your choice, plus an oil change for $159. So if you need vehicle maintenance, save your cash now. Tires, service, straight talk. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
I'm Drew Anderson with the Cincinnati Reds, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
There's a slight chance of a shower storm early on yet today. Otherwise, look for some sunshine to develop with a high temperature of 93. South winds will also develop around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, a low near 69 with south winds of 5 to 15. On weather, I'm meteorologist Paul Trompley.
Right now, 81.
If you're going through, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out. For the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. If you missed our chat with Jason Peter at the top of the show, or any of the interviews, or any of the show at any time, we've got past shows probably dating back almost to the first of the year on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, plus the Courtyard, a beautiful place out back, little bar unto its own. It is an outstanding place to relax anytime, day or night, at least while they're
under the misters.
No. That's at the Courtyard. That is at the Courtyard. Coming up in just a moment, Danielle Shum is going to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and B.G. Brooks is just a moment away. He's going to join us to talk Colorado football from the Rocky Mountain News. You know what? Breakfast burritos requested today from Big City Burrito. You won't find any microwaves or freezers. You won't find everyday fast food because they pack your tortilla with everything you crave and nothing you don't want. They open at 7:30 in the morning so that they can bring a breakfast burrito to you. If you have not had a Big City Burrito, you are missing out. And again, we're able to enjoy those during the break here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. You have dismantled yours.
I dominated. I will be honest with you. And you know what? You make your own burrito, so you don't like beans? You don't have to have beans. You don't want rice? You don't have to have rice. There's so many different fillings to choose from, so many different tortillas to choose from.
You're
it's
a fan
amazing.
Of the beef carne asada.
That's what I get.
You put a little cheese
and
on there.
And Daddy goes minus the beans because he contributes too much to greenhouse gases when you get the beans added there.
Beans bad in an enclosed studio. So
only with Daddy, though.
We request that neither one of us do that. But you're a black bean guy, Darren.
I am a black bean guy there. I got them packed into my burrito over here, and they're very, very tasty.
Every ingredient perfectly seasoned with secret recipes. And each burrito is built just for you because you choose every part of it, from the type of tortilla to each fresh, made-from-scratch filling. 7:30 to 9 Monday through Friday, 9 to 9 on Saturdays. Check it out at Big City Burrito, 28th and 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where you walk in hungry and walk out happy, even first thing in the morning. Don't go get that microwave garbage on the way to work. Go to Big City Burrito and get a great breakfast burrito tomorrow morning.
Walk in happy, walk out miserable, or happy.
No, but you tried to eat two one time.
That's
what you thinking?
They've got that monster thing. They got some deal that you won't be able to eat.
You like challenges, so you get right after it. That's pretty amazing. The hot dog eating contest, speaking of eating, is tomorrow. You can vote on our webpage. What do you enjoy watching more, competitive eating or the World Series of Poker? World Series of Poker was up about 60% to 40% when I checked earlier this morning. You can log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and vote on the poll question. Tomorrow, we've got a field of about 10, and we could use a couple more. We've got some celebrities from the world of newspaper and television that will be there, and just some celebrities from the program. We would love to have you join us. You need to do so, though, probably here before the end of the show so that we can get you the information. We will be at the Hilltop Mall tomorrow, where the summer sidewalk sales are going on Friday through Sunday. We've got prizes, all kinds, given away. Everybody that enters will receive a prize. Might even grab somebody out of the crowd tomorrow to be a part of all of this. It gets underway at 11 o'clock. Back to school's right around the corner. See what they've got at the Hilltop Mall and stop by and experience Troutman's quality hot dogs. Kerry and the gang again setting us up. Defending champion Ben Bertrand looking to defend his title. 12 1/4 hot dogs, or was it 12 1/2? 12 1/4, 12 1/2 in that 30-minute period last year. We don't get too psycho like they do at Coney Island.
No.
We would need bigger prizes.
We would need smaller hot dogs,
too. It was 59, I think, was what those 59. Kobayashi and the big guy tied at.
And 5 in the dog off for Joey Chestnut. Well, that's enough talking about competitive eating. Colorado football is our topic on this edition of Big 12 Update.
12 days, 12 schools, one child, and two guys.
Certainly take their football seriously, don't they?
It's the Big 12 Preview on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Gee, we sure appreciate you giving us some time and some Colorado insight. And the Doug and Daddy Big 12 football preview continues as we get ready for Big 12 Media Days coming up from Kansas City. We'll be live there all throughout July 21st through the 23rd, catching up with coaches and players. But just to kind of pique the interest, we continue about halfway through now, Daddy, with what's going on in the Big 12. And today we go back to the North Division, and the Colorado Buffaloes are looking to make yet another improvement in their third year under Coach Dan Hawkins.
Well, they tripled their win total from a year ago, from 06 to 07, and they're looking to improve the 6 win total they had a year ago. Find it interesting, a lot of people's mind has Colorado's kind of one of those wild card teams. Play a brutal non-conference schedule, but then they get into conference, and you think the games they've got, you talk about how tough the Big 12 is, they might take a step back this year and be a better football team, and that's why we're joined by B.G. Brooks right now to talk about Colorado Buffalo football. B.G., thanks so much for letting us catch up with you.
You're welcome. Glad to do it, guys.
BG, what's the optimism right now in Colorado? They have to feel at least that they're pointed in the right direction after just getting 2 wins 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, they are. They did get the 2 wins in Dan Hawkins' first year, then went to 6 wins last year. And, the people who are really familiar with the program are saying, does that necessarily translate into 8 wins or more in Hawkins' third year, if you chart that progression? Well, not necessarily so. And you guys touched on it, I think. They could be a better football team, but not have the record that's going to show it, come late November. The non-conference schedule is typically brutal for Colorado. They've got Colorado State in Denver, which is always a big in-state rivalry game. Then they've got Florida State in Jacksonville and West Virginia coming to Boulder. So, there are no gimmies in that bunch. And the Big 12 schedule is like the non-conference schedule. It's going to be a tough one.
BG, talk about Cody Hawkins. He started all 13 games as a redshirt freshman, but he had some interception problems in there. He threw 22 touchdowns, but late in the year he really got on a roll.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see improvement from that position with Cody Hawkins. Cody's going to have a better cast around him offensively at the skill positions, and I think that's going to make a big difference for him. Plus the year that he's got under his belt, the experience he gained last year in starting those 13 games really is invaluable. And Colorado is going to a faster offense this year. And by faster, I mean the no-huddle look that several teams in the North have adopted. And by all indications, from last spring to this point, Cody has really excelled in that. So he's a very, you hear the term student of the game thrown around a lot, but he really is that. And you hear the term coach's son and what that means as far as his absorbing things and so forth. That may be overused too, but I think both of those terms really fit in describing Cody Hawkins.
B.G. Brooks of the Rocky Mountain News joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show talking Colorado Buffalo football. B.G., this is a young, young, young offense. You've got a senior in the middle at center, but outside of that, Cody's going to be looking around at a lot of young, young kids.
And it could get younger as the season progresses. I think anybody who's followed Colorado recruiting knows that last year was really a banner year in Colorado recruiting, and the name that you start with is running back Darryl Scott, who was the number one back, recruited back in the country, according to some of the recruiting services. So Darryl Scott comes in, and people are expecting him, whether it's justified or not, to be the starter in the opener. I'm not so sure that'll happen. It depends on how he does in camp, and if he comes in and plays as advertised, yeah, that could happen. So Darryl Scott, I think, will be in the lineup at some point. He'll be a true freshman. You've got some other recruits coming in that could challenge Scott even. Ray Polk, who is a running back from Arizona, comes in really highly touted. So that's a battle I really anticipate seeing in training camp. So, yeah, Cody's going to look around and say, who are some of these guys? But, by the time November rolls around, I think everybody in the Big 12 is going to be pretty well acquainted with them.
BG, you look at the defensive side of the ball. They lose Jordan Dizon. They lose an all-Big 12 cornerback in Terrence Wheatley. Who is the man that's going to lead that defense? Is it Brad Jones, the senior outside linebacker?
Brad Jones could be the guy, but I think if I had to place a little wager on it, I would say that George Hippolyte, a defensive tackle, I think he's going to be the leader on the defense, and I think one of the real true team leaders. He's a very good defensive tackle, maybe a little bit undersized by some standards, but he's a good one. And the guy playing opposite him, Brandon Nicholas, is no slouch either. So I think in the line, at least at those two positions, they're going to be solid. The linebacking core, it's going to be, you know, replacing Dijon is going to be a very difficult thing. Replacing Terrence Wheatley is going to be difficult. I would say that there are two question marks on defense are going to be who steps up at linebacker, who steps in for Wheatley in the secondary. If they can fill those two holes and really get some competent play out of replacements there, they'll be okay on defense.
For fans out there.
You notice I said okay, not great.
Well, that's right. And for fans out there that don't remember this, Colorado 21 sacks in all of 07. That ranked 10th in the Big 12. So that's something they're going to have to shore up and get pressure on the quarterback and to improve that defense.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can't stand to go through another season and not have pressure on the quarterback in a league like the Big 12. You know, it showed up last year at times that they just weren't putting any pressure on the quarterback, and they got hurt by it. So that's going to be a real priority in the preseason camp.
B.G. Brooks of the Rocky Mountain News joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show previewing Colorado football. What is the thought then, B.G.? What are you thinking that this football team can do? I find it hard, as we already talked a little bit about the schedule, that they're going to make as big of improvement win and loss-wise. And I know you talked about, you know, they could be a better team and the record won't show it. What are the folks thinking that Colorado can do this year and where they're looking? What's going to be satisfactory for this team?
Well, I think the real optimist and the realistic optimist looks at a season, and if you can get 7 wins out of this schedule, it would have been a really good year. If you get 8 wins, you know, you start talking about, you know, Dan Hawkins for Coach of the Year or you know, something in terms of that. I think that 6 wins, 7 wins, I think that's probably what you're looking at. They really have a brutal stretch there late August, September, and then to early October with, you know, when they hit their conference opener against Texas. Fortunately for Colorado, that's in Boulder, but still playing Texas anytime is a tough task. So, I think that them getting back to a bowl is a real possibility. I think that challenging for the North Division Championship might be a stretch, because you've got 2 potential top 10 teams in the North in Missouri and Kansas. So, you know, it's a tall order to win the North these days. It's kind of turned around from several years ago when people were talking about the North Division as the weaker of the two in the Big 12.
BG, talk a little bit about Dan Hawkins, and has he gotten everybody to believe? I know there's probably some skepticism, especially after year one, you get 2 wins. But the way things went last year, you got to think that everybody's behind this guy now and is full steam ahead.
Well, I think the majority of the people here are behind Hawkins. I think there is some skepticism from people who just weren't satisfied with that 2-win season in year one, and particularly losing to Montana State. That's something that's going to stick in a lot of people's craw for a long, long time. Nonetheless, if you follow Colorado recruiting and you see the type of players that Hawkins has been able to recruit and the people, the recruits that he's been in on, you got to think that he is really getting it done and turning it around in recruiting. And as you know, if you can't recruit, you can't win. So he's getting the guys in. He's getting most of them, and I say most, to stay in school, to you know, be eligible, academically eligible, which is always a big factor at Colorado. And I think he does have it going in the right direction. Now, year 3 is pivotal. Year 4 is going to be even more pivotal because he's got, you know, he will have these guys in with a year under their belts. So, you know, we'll see. I think it's all pointed in the right direction, but there again, you've got to see what they do on the field to verify that.
B.G. Brooks of the Rocky Mountain News, just a minute left or so here with B.G. I'm looking at this future schedule, and this, they're taking over the old Notre Dame schedule, I think. Next year, maybe a little bit of a breather, West Virginia on the road, but, you know, normal Colorado State every year, then Miami of Ohio and Wyoming. But it's not like they're trying to back down, because in 2 years, Georgia is on the schedule, Hawaii is on the schedule, Colorado State and California on the road. How much talk is there about softening the schedule a little bit?
Well, there always is talk about that, particularly in November when people start looking at wins and losses and talking about bowls and so forth. And, you know, the reasoning is, among those people, is the Big 12 Conference is tough enough, as you know, so why not soften up the schedule before you get into it? Well, there's a one primary factor for that, and that is Colorado has to play marquee teams in Boulder to attract a sellout. You know, it's not like you just open the gates in Boulder and you're going to get 53,000 in the stadium. There are too many other competing things out here for the entertainment dollar. And it's not like, I'm not picking on Nebraska, but it's not like, you know, you open the gates in Lincoln and you've got 80,000 plus that'll show up. So, you know, that's the big thing. And every Colorado coach that I've covered who has, you know, has come through here and kind of scratched his head and looked at the schedule and said, hey, you know, what are they trying to do, run me out of town after 3 years? He always asked that question, you know, why can't we soften it up? But then I think the bottom line, the dollars and cents and the, you know, the people in the stadium, that, you know, that comes back to, you know, be a justification for it, if there is a justification.
Well, like Dan Hawkins says, it ain't intramurals, brother. It ain't intramurals.
And he says it emphatically.
BG, we sure appreciate you giving us some time and some Colorado insight from the Rocky Mountain News. BG Brooks joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And enjoy the upcoming football season.
Thanks much. I'm looking forward to it, as you guys are.
Thanks so much, BG. We'll take a look at more football coming up next week. Still to go, Kansas, Baylor, Oklahoma, Missouri. And, of course, the Huskers will take a break tomorrow from the hot dog eating contest. We thought we'd have Baylor on tomorrow and just, you know. So what's Baylor going to be like? They suck. Okay, well, thank you so much and move on. But five more schools next week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We need to take a break, and we'll be back. Danielle Shum going into the RMAC Hall of Fame will join us when we come back.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
It's the can't-miss-it proof of your effort. It's the part of you you leave behind. It's the case-closed evidence you gave it your all. It's sweat. And when you sweat during exercise, you lose more than water. You lose electrolytes and burn carbohydrates. You lose energy. You need the optimal formula of Gatorade. Water for hydration. Electrolytes to replenish your body. Carbohydrates to re-energize. No water. No water with vitamins. No other sports drink on the planet puts back what sweat takes out. Better than Gatorade. So when you leave it all on the field, replace it. For optimal rehydration, choose Gatorade. Is it in you?
When the phone rings, who do you want to answer? It's your call. Trust Lifts, serving the Kearney area for over 30 years. Long-standing reputation, innovative ideas, personal service, superior quality. Trust Lifts. It's your call. On time. Done right, one customer at a time. Lips Printing Service, Kearney.
This is Hotshot Branch of the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters. You're listening to ESPN Radio Superstation on 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS.
There's a slight chance of a shower storm early on yet today. Otherwise, look for some sunshine to develop with a high temperature of 93. South winds will also develop around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, a low near 69 with south winds of 5 to 15. I'm weather I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 13th Annual Miss Basketball Tournament underway at UNK and at Kearney Catholic's Cope Gymnasium. We welcome all the players and fans and coaches to the community. Enjoy your stay and best of luck. And You can't play basketball all day, Daddy.
No, you got to take a little time for yourself, a little rest and relaxation. I know it's going to be hot out. They've got small buckets of balls, Kearney Golf Center. You don't have to be out there all afternoon. Fix your game. 8 target greens with yardage boards updated as the yardage switches. Same day service. You need a club regrip. That's fine. Kevin Kamrath can help you out. Kearney Golf Center, south of UNK, along Highway 30. Stop in today or give him a call, 234-6543. You know what? He might have some time today or tomorrow. Get in a quick lesson before that tournament this weekend. Kearney Golf Center is where it's at. Kevin Kamrath gave his 7,000th lesson late last summer. 19 years in the business, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Get there today. Kearney Golf Center, lighted driving range. You get home after dark, not a problem. Head to the Kearney Golf Center, south of UNK along Highway 30.
Yeah, so there you go. If you're watching some basketball, you can sneak over between games and keep your game sharp. Head on over there and take care of what needs to be taken care of in your game at the Kearney Golf Center. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime on the Doug and Daddy Show at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, I was all geeked up. Royals 5-0 lead last night, and they find another way to blow it. They give up the winning run on a balk. And Carlos Quentin hits two-run home runs, and the White Sox beat him by one run for the second straight night.
Yeah, just disappointing. They seem to find a way to lose all of a sudden. You know, games that they should have in hand, key hits at critical times for the White Sox. I believe that's 7 in a row now for the Chicago White Sox over the Kansas City Royals.
Tervell Delagnev winning the gold at the World Championships in Greece yesterday, his first international freestyle tournament. Danielle Shum going to join us right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We turned down the volume on all the radios in the building during this hour so as not to irritate the boss.
If you're afraid of the rising price of gas, afraid of the increasing cost of food, and afraid you won't be able to stretch your budget for everything else you need, Kearney Yamaha has one thing to say. Do not be afraid. Kearney Yamaha has your money-saving solution. Stop into Kearney Yamaha today and see how you can save over $4,800 on a brand-new 1900cc Yamaha Stratoliner. This chrome-heavy, 113-cubic-inch V-twin-powered streamlined Stratoliner is fuel-injected with locking side bags and a detachable windshield and backrest. And right now, you'll get a $200 gas card free when you finance your new Yamaha Star Motorcycle at Kearney Yamaha. That's heard right. A free $200 gas card. The Yamaha Stratoliner, available in every color you love and in stock now at Kearney Yamaha.
Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
What's the address of Wrigley Field?
1060 West Addison Street.
All right, how would you classify the phrase, hey, batter, no batter, swing, batter, swing?
As infield chatter? Come on.
What's a backdoor slider?
A pitch that appears to be out of the strike zone but then breaks over the plate. Next.
All right, tell me, who is the official bank of Major League Baseball?
Bank of America, where I can sign up for MLB banking and get my favorite team's logo on my credit card, checks, and statements. I'll even earn points to redeem for autographed memorabilia and VIP experiences whenever I make purchases with my Extra Bases credit card.
Now, passionate fans like you can make every day game day and get rewarded with MLB banking from Bank of America. Learn more or sign up at your local banking center or at bankofamerica.com/MLB.
Hey, do you know the time?
8:35. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. MLB credit cards are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball Properties, Inc. Visit the official website at MLB.com. Copyright 2008 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Bill Thomas with the Phoenix Coyotes. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
There's a slight chance of a shower storm early on yet today. Otherwise, look for some sunshine to develop with a high temperature of 93. South winds will also develop around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, a low near 69 with south winds of 5 to 15. I'm weather I'm meteorologist Paul Trompley.
Right now, 81.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. Hi, we're back, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Looking around outside, things aren't looking the way you want them to look.
I notice your lawn is looking better and the things that go along with it.
Well, that's for one reason only. Matt and the gang were over from Kerbet, Inc. They're bringing life to landscapes, people, whether it be residential or commercial. What I liked about them
home or business.
That means home or business. If you live in the rural Odessa area, residential or commercial, yes. Call for a free estimate. Matt's not going to be an overpressure guy. That's not his style. Whether it be sandboxes, playgrounds, path markers, walkways, driveways. Maybe you're heading down 2nd Avenue and see the new trees, the curbing around them. That was Matt and the gang, curbit.net on the internet, or call them today, 308-237-4805. Free estimate. They got lighted curbing packages as well. Check them out today. Curbit.net or give them a call, 308-237-4805. Matt and the gang are there for all your landscaping needs.
Here's late-breaking news from the world of sports on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Yes, more on the story that was first broke here on the Doug and Daddy Show some month and a half ago. Continued sources are now telling us that it is very close to the Tri-City Storm and the arena being sold and having it become official. As we broke to you, what has that been, a month and a half ago, Tony?
Yeah, been roughly over a month ago for sure. And I think the feeling of exhilaration when Steve Peterson was out of the athletic department.
Wow.
I think that same exhilaration may be felt in other places.
Well, and our sources are saying that this could be done as soon as the end of the week. And so we will continue to keep our eye and ear on this. And when it becomes official, we'll be talking to Kyle and Jeff and the gang at the Tri-City Storm. But again, breaking news just sent to us, and we will find out more and hopefully have a little bit more on this for you tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, the RMAC Hall of Fame is coming up this weekend, Daddy, and UNK has been dominant in the RMAC ever since they've joined this conference. But one of the things we've talked about for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years when the Hall of Fame comes out is that there are no UNK athletes going into this Hall of Fame. And one of the reasons is there's so much time, like all Hall of Fames, it takes to get into a hall, and UNK hadn't been in that long, and anybody from Kearney State was not eligible to be in the Hall of Fame. But for the first time ever, UNK will have an athlete going into the Hall of Fame in ceremonies out in Colorado Springs this weekend.
Well, Doug, plus you throw the fact that everybody that votes on this committee hates UNK still to this day. You know, that's another reason why no athlete's been in it. But we're pleased to be joined by now by the first athlete that is going to be inducted into the RMAC Hall of Fame, and Danielle Shum-Stoll.
Shum-Stoll was named the RMAC Volleyball Player of the Year in 95. It was the first full season in the conference, tabbed as a second-team All-American, leading the Lopers to the Elite Eight. The following year, once again named RMAC Volleyball Player of the Year, first-team All-American, Lopers reached the Elite Eight of the NCAA Volleyball Tournament. During her 2 years in the RMAC, UNK boasted a 34-1 conference record, and really that volleyball team has been almost as good ever since, and we are pleased to welcome Danielle Shum-Stoll, who's in Kansas City, just on the suburbs of Kansas City, to the Doug and Daddy Show. Danielle, thanks for joining us on the show, and boy, a big congratulations from everyone in Loperland.
Yeah, hi, thanks, guys.
Tell us a little bit about your reaction. I guess a little backstory here as well. You actually were selected a couple of years ago to go into the Hall of Fame, and if I've got my story right, if you're going to be inducted into this Hall of Fame, you have to be there. Well, you've had a couple of important things going on these weekends the last couple of years.
Yes, well, we've last couple of years they've called, and I've either been pregnant or just about to give birth, or we've been coaching. We coach a club team, and our nationals was running into the same weekend. So we've been at coaching and having babies for the last couple of years and unavailable. But this year it was good timing, so we're excited to make the trip.
Well, the surprise obviously was out of it. If it's happened 2 years before, you just figure, oh, well, they'll just call again this year, I suppose.
Right. They kind of checked every year, and finally this year the timing was right. So there was no surprise element. A couple years ago I was pretty surprised. But, yeah, the surprise has definitely worn off.
Danielle, talk about that moment when you first get the call. I obviously not something somebody thinks about, the RMAC Hall of Fame, but after a great, great career at UNK, still the all-time leader in set assists for 6,307. I don't know who kept track of that, but 6,307, that's a remarkable number.
Right. Well, when I first found out, I didn't to be honest. I didn't even know there was an RMAC Hall of Fame. I've kind of been out of the volleyball loop playing-wise, and, you know, I left Nebraska shortly after I graduated, so didn't even know it existed, but I was sure pleased, and it was pretty exciting when I found out, and it was, you know, very much an honor, and kind of disappointing that I wasn't able to get there the last couple years, but I'm glad it worked out this year.
Danielle Shum-Stoll joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You were part of the transition from where the Lopers were to going into the RMAC. Was there any immediate change that affected you guys on the volleyball court when you maybe changed the competition you were playing?
You know, the big thing I remember was just the travel was a little bit different. We spent a lot of time, before we went into the RMAC, we were traveling it mostly into, like, North Dakota, Omaha, that way. So I remember the big change was we spent a lot of time in Colorado and had a lot longer drives, just going to, like, Mesa and Grand Junction, and I think the New Mexico, or Western New Mexico, I think, the long drives is what I remember changing. But, yeah, the competition was, we were really excited to get into a conference because before we got into a conference, we couldn't really lobby for any kind of national recognition. So it was a big deal for us to get into the conference and be able to compete at that level.
Daniel, what's the immediate memory? Is there a game or two that sticks out in your career that you think back to and get a smile on your face?
Definitely when we hosted the regional championships, I want to say 95, or 95, 96, when we hosted the regional championships,
yes.
And it was Hawaii Hilo came in, Western Washington maybe. There were teams from pretty far away that had to come into little old Kearney, Nebraska, and we packed the place full, and that was when they let us play in the horseshoe, where the fans were, 3 inches from the court. So it was a pretty intimidating environment, and the supporters that we had in the Kearney area were awesome, and great environment to play in, and we actually won Friday night and Saturday night, and it was five-game matches, real competitive, definitely peaked at the right time and played well that weekend. And it was fun to do it in front of the home crowd.
You know, if my notes are correct, in that fifth set, it was 17-15 also. So a little bit of excitement there at the end as well.
Yeah, definitely a close match. One of the best times that I remember playing. Definitely one that stands out in my mind.
Danielle Shum-Stoll joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, going into the RMAC Hall of Fame, was a first-team All-American her senior season for UNK, currently resides on the outskirts of Kansas City, coaching some junior teams. You mentioned even back then the place was packed for UNK. They've hosted national tournaments now. They have, I don't know if revived is the word, because they seem to have been good for quite some time. And you've seen a lot of volleyball in your day. Are you still surprised that what Kearney can bring in compared to maybe some of the other places that they just don't get those crowds?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Just in the Kansas City area, there's lots of D2 schools, Washburn's in Topeka and Central Missouri State's up in Warrensburg, Rockhurst High School, and they're all really good D2 programs. And occasionally, just to kind of feed my love of volleyball, I go watch a match, and it's just not even close. Like, I laugh because when, you know, we would have a typical home game and the place would have, you know, 800 people on, like, a Tuesday night. And you go to a weekend game at any of these other places by Kansas City, and there's, you know, maybe 50 people. And I just think how lucky I was to play in that kind of environment and how great it was that we had the support that we had, because that just really added to the experience.
Daniel, take us back to 93 through 96. I was actually in college then, but you probably remember a lot more than I do. Obviously, with 6,307 assists in volleyball, there's some people around you that raise the level of play as well. Single some of those ladies out and tell us who made you the player you were.
You know, obviously the girls that we played with, it was fun. My freshman year, we had no seniors. So I think there were like 8 or 9 freshmen that year that started out. And then Missy Obermeyer and I think it's Missy Hatcher now, her and I are the only freshmen to go through the whole 4 years, that made it through the 4 years playing and starting all 4 years. So she definitely stands out in my mind, and she was my right side, played all the way around, just a great player in person. The older gals, Angie Usher, Chris Hughes, Jessica Wheel is her name now. Jessica, what's her maiden name? She was older. Jessica, she's from Shickley. She's going to kill me because I just emailed her today. And then Kristen Miller, we called Ed. She was, you know, that was kind of our crew that we would run around and
her
we played together a couple
her
years.
Her path in life, by the way, has really taken a bad turn, so you, just as far as, just so you know.
Right, I've heard she's taking a turn for the South, so.
Danielle Shum is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Carney, then, you know, it's kind of funny because you would have graduated just before I moved into this neck of the woods, even though I'm from central Nebraska. A lot of things I know have changed since then. What did a college student that you can say, what did a college student do when they weren't playing volleyball back in 95 and 94?
Oh, probably pretty much similar to what they do these days. We all kind of ran around together. There was a house that a lot of the older girls lived in that we would just kind of hang around right off campus. You know, it was funny because you'd spend so much time together during the season. Season would get out and you'd think that we'd kind of want to stay away from each other. But we gravitated together and hung out and pretty much just had a good time in Kearney.
Usually beat up the girls that didn't play volleyball, probably, like a gang.
Right. We would just run around beating people up.
Danielle, one final, I guess, serious question before we let you get out of here. You will be the first, as we touched on, the first UNK athlete of what has been so many great athletes in so many sports. And I guess this is, as we've talked with some of the folks here, it might open the floodgates here a little bit for some other fine athletes to come into the RMAC Hall of Fame. Have you thought about what it'll be to be the first from UNK going in?
You know, that's certainly monumental. It's a great honor, but there's a lot of people involved and keeping me going for 4 years. Patty Sartorius was my coach, and she was, you know, I was pretty homesick that freshman year, and she did a lot to keep me in Kearney and keep me going and sticking with it. So she, you know, she's a huge part of that and a huge impact on me, and she's actually coming down to Colorado Springs or to Denver with me, picking me up from the airport, and she's going to be at the ceremony. So I'm looking forward to the ceremony so much. It's going to be a great time, and it's awesome to represent UNK and the athletic department and the volleyball program.
Well, and obviously she must know what she's doing with setters. Her daughter, Lindsay, leading Minden to the state runner-up as a setter.
I know, right? That's great.
Yeah, it's a great time. Well, it becomes a little cyclical, but it's always good to talk about great things here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Danielle, again, everybody in Loperland says congratulations and have a great weekend out in Colorado Springs.
Thanks so much, guys.
Again, the RMAC Hall of Fame coming up this Saturday in conjunction with all that they have going on with RMAC festivities. Also, preseason football media days is on Friday, so a lot of things are going on out in Colorado Springs. We want to thank all the great folks that joined us on the program today, including Danielle Shum, who is going into the RMAC Hall of Fame. Of course, B.G. Brooks from the Rocky Mountain News to talk Colorado football in our Big 12 football preview, which we will continue on Monday as we are leading up to Big 12 football media days in Kansas City, where the Doug and Daddy Show will be live July 21st through the 23rd, talking with coaches and players. And, of course, we let off the show today with former Husker Jason Peter, whose new book, Hero of the Underground, is on store shelves today. And Peter will join us again on Monday to talk more about the book, how the first weekend went, and a little bit of Husker football as well. He will join us again on Monday's show. But tomorrow, it's the third annual Doug and Daddy Hot Dog Eating Contest, live from the Hilltop Mall. Even if you're not a participant, come up, enjoy the sidewalk sales, and you could be a winner as well just by hanging out at the Hilltop Mall tomorrow. We'll talk to you then on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!